From Spark and Anvil and DepthQuest, this is Gyre in Chapter 1 of the DepthQuest cast. This drama uses an AI-generated voice, voiced via Gemini 2.5. Gyre floated on her back near the top of the open sea, flippers folded, going exactly nowhere on her own, and moving very fast anyway. There was no shore in sight, no coral, no kelp, nothing to grab, just blue in every direction, and the huge, slow push of the water under her shell, carrying her the way a moving sidewalk carries a tired traveler. She wasn't swimming, she was riding. A young fish thrashed up beside her, panting. "How are you keeping up with me? You're not even paddling." "I know," Gyre said, and yawned. "That's the trick. Put your fin down. Just hold still a second and feel the water." He stopped fighting, and there it was, a steady, patient pressure, all the water around them sliding the same direction at once, like a river that had escaped its banks and gone wandering across the whole ocean. "It's pulling us," he whispered. "It's a current," Gyre said, "a great big loop of moving water. I hatched on a beach half an ocean away from here, and I've mostly just let it carry me, round and round the edge of the sea, one enormous circle, for years." She patted the water fondly with one flipper. "Why paddle across the whole planet when the planet's already going your way?"
Gyre hadn't always trusted the loop. When she was tiny, fresh out of the sand, no bigger than a bottle cap, a storm had shoved her out past the shallows into water so deep and open it made her dizzy. No bottom, no edges, just her, alone, in the biggest blue there was. Her small heart hammered. "I'll never find my way. I don't even know which way is anywhere." She paddled in a panic until her flippers burned, fighting the water, trying to force her way back to a shore she could no longer see. She got nowhere. She only got tired. An old sea turtle drifted up out of the blue, barnacles on his shell like a coat of metals, and watched her flail with kind, unbothered eyes. "You're swimming so hard against it," he said. "Have you tried asking where it's already going?" "Where what's going?" "The water, little one." He spread his flippers and let himself be carried, slow and certain. It moves in a shape, a giant slow wheel, warm water sliding away from the middle of the world, cold water sliding back. It's been turning that same wheel for longer than turtles have had shells. You don't have to know the whole map. He drifted past her, unhurried. You just have to learn to read which way the wheel is turning and lean into it. Gyre stopped fighting. She put her flippers down. And the terror of the endless blue loosened, because the blue wasn't empty and random after all. It had a direction. It was going somewhere, in a shape, on purpose. And she was allowed to go with it. She swam, well, drifted, to DepthQuest at 12, arriving on the current like a letter finally delivered. Marlin, the mentor, met her at the open water gate. He didn't ask how fast she could swim. He asked one question. "What is a current?" Gyre didn't answer with words right away. She simply lifted her flippers off the water and let the current turn her in a slow, deliberate half circle in front of him, tracing the invisible wheel. "It's the ocean moving in loops," she said. "Warm water near the middle of the world spreads out and cools, and cold water sinks and slides back, and the spinning planet bends all of it into great circles. They carry heat from the hot places to the cold places." She let herself glide. "They carry me too, and plankton and baby fish, and the warmth that keeps whole coasts from freezing. The whole sea is one slow machine for moving things around." Marlin watched her drift her patient half-circle. "You've stopped fighting the water," he said. "You belong here."
Gyre's students were usually the anxious paddlers, the ones who'd heard the currents were changing, getting strange, and had decided the whole machine was breaking. One came to her wound up tight. "The currents are slowing down," he said, fast and scared. "I heard it. If the great loop stops, everything freezes. Everything cooks. It's all going wrong. He was paddling in place, just talking about it, burning himself out. Jire knew that thrash. She'd done it once, tiny and alone in the big blue. "Stop paddling a second," she said gently. "Feel the water. Is it moving right now?" He went still. "Yes, it is. Right now, today, this loop is turning." She drifted a slow arc beside him. "Now, you're right that scientists are watching the currents closely, because a warming world can nudge how they flow, and that matters, and smart people are measuring it very carefully. That's true, and I won't pretend it isn't." She caught his eye. "But changing isn't gone. The wheel that's turned for millions of years doesn't vanish in a headline. The honest picture is, it's still turning. Some parts are shifting, and people are learning to read it better than ever." She nudged him onto the current's push. "And you can't help watch a machine you've already decided is broken." He let the water take him. His breathing slowed to match its patient pace.
Later, drifting side by side in the last gold light near the surface, the young fish asked the real question. "When it's too big," he said, "and you can't steer it, and you're scared, how do you not just thrash yourself out?" Jire thought of the barnacled old turtle and the endless blue that turned out to have a direction. "You stop trying to fight the whole ocean," she said, "and you learn which way it's already going. You can't push the sea around, but you can read it. Feel which way the wheel turns, and lean into it, and go with it to places you could never have reached alone." She rolled lazily onto her back, and the current carried them both on, slow and sure, toward a horizon neither of them had to swim for. And the tight, dizzy fear the young fish had carried went quiet, replaced by the strange, deep calm of being held by something enormous and patient, and going somewhere. Of not having to know the whole map to trust the water under you.
You've been listening to a Spark and Anvil chapter, written by the Spark and Anvil writing team for ages 9 to 14. Spark and Anvil is a 501c3 public charity. Apps stay free forever. Curriculum aligned to Gaier. Released under Creative Commons BYNC-SA 4.0 for educational reuse. Visit Spark and Anvil for the full transcript.